is my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come, and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come, and fill me now. Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell thee how. But I need thee, greatly need thee. Come, O come, and fill me now. I am weakness, full of weakness, at thy sacred feet I bow. Blessed divine eternal Spirit, fill with power and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come, and fill me now. Cleanse and comfort, bless and save me. Faith, obey my heart and brow. Thou art comforting and saving. Thou art sweetly filling now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence. Come, O come and fill me now.
Good song tonight. It was a good 5-month period when the Lord sent us Brother Hansen and Brother Minkowski. I appreciate both these guys and what they've done for us now over 6 years. Coming up on 6 years, right? 6 years for you and then 6 years in December for Jason. So Brother Jason's going to have the parents and the teenagers up in the old Spanish auditorium. That's the tile room upstairs in this building. So if you have a teenager, he'd like to have you in that class tonight. So you are dismissed at this time. And enjoy the time up there with Brother Jason. That'll be a blessing, I know. And though you will enjoy that, okay? They'll let you have some time with him upstairs. And those of us in here, we will hear from Brother Caleb in just a moment. So that'll be a blessing. And that will be good, all right? Very, very good. Now, fellas, I don't mind y'all sitting over here, but we need to see your faces, okay? Not the tops of your heads. You teenage boys need to see your faces, not the top of your head during the service, all right? And looking down makes you a little bit suspicious. That's fine. No problem with sitting over there. This one's sitting up here paying attention to Brother Caleb. Amen? All right. The unexcited, lethargic, passive Brother Caleb Hansen. Amen?
Take your Bibles and take your Bibles and go over to Acts chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 10. Acts chapter 1 and verse 10. I asked the pastor this morning, I said, were you planning on doing the moderating of the service? He said, yes, I'll do the moderating. I said, good, that'll be the best part of the service then tonight, the moderating and the prayer request time. So it's a privilege to be able to stand behind the pulpit and bring a message to you this evening. If you're like my son, when I was in Mesquite, I was going to preach for my father-in-law down there, and we were getting ready to get in the car and head off to church. And my son, I came in, and I was going to get his shoes on, and he said, Daddy, who's preaching tonight? Is Papa going to preach? I said, no, I am. And he said, aw, I wanted to hear Papa. So, amen. I said, son, I tell you what, similar feelings here. So we're going over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. And we're going to talk about the disciples and Jesus Christ ascending up into heaven. Verse 10, we'll begin reading. We'll read through verse 11. The Bible says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The Bible says here that the disciples were gathered on the hillside of Galilee. And as Jesus Christ was talking to them, I'm sure there were other folks gathered around as well with the disciples. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ started to ascend up into heaven. And as he went up into the clouds, the Bible says that two men stood by him and looked down at these men sitting alongside the hillside of Galilee and said, "Why do you stand gazing up into heaven?" Then they said, "We're going to give you two promises in verse 11. This same Jesus is going to come back in like manner." And you've been in that situation where you see a loved one go far away and they move away from you, or you won't be seeing them for a long time. Maybe you're moving away from them. And the emotion of grief that grips your heart, you long to be with them, and yet you know it's the best thing to be for them to be where they're going to head out and be for the next several months or years. And you know that feeling. I remember before we came up here to Illinois, my in-laws had to spend the night, the last night that we had in Oklahoma. And that next morning, we got up and my mother-in-law, she made oatmeal. And I tell you what, it's the saddest breakfast we had ever had. Oatmeal and tears for milk in the oatmeal. And they were all crying and we sat around the kitchen table, and then they barely got through the meal. And then we got to the garage and we were ready to say our last goodbyes. And so my father-in-law says, "Well, I suppose we better pray here." And so he starts praying and just busts into tears. He says, "Kale, why don't you go ahead and pray?" And so I started leading in a word of prayer, and all of a sudden my voice cracked and tears started. You've been in that situation. Well, that's the same type of situation the Apostle Paul and the other disciples are in this portion of Scripture. They're all grieving that Jesus Christ is leaving them. But the Bible says these two men, they gave them two promises. The first one we find, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The Bible says that the men here told the disciples that Jesus Christ is going to come back. Jesus Christ, he's going to send back he's going to come back down through the clouds. The trumpet's going to blow, and we're going to meet our Lord in the air someday. What a great day that will be. And that's a topic that all Christians look forward to talking about and look forward to, that special day when we'll see our Savior face to face. I can't imagine when the trumpet blows and when we shoot up to meet our Lord in the air and to live with him forevermore. What a great time that will be. And boy, there's messages that are preached on that. And I remember when I traveled with Brother Boyd, Brother Boyd would preach on the rapture, and he'd preach about the second coming of Jesus Christ and how it would stir our hearts. But I was reading through this verse a few weeks ago, and I noticed the first promise here. And that's what I want to preach on this evening. The promise is this same Jesus. This same Jesus. Yes, Jesus Christ is going to descend once again through the clouds, and we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, but it's going to be the same Jesus that ascended up into heaven. He won't change one bit. He's going to remain the same. I love the fact that Jesus says to those disciples, "I will remain the same." And what I want to preach tonight is this same Jesus. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." You see, we have a God that has no fads. We have a God that doesn't have any certain type of trend, or he doesn't try to stay with the modern technology. He is supreme, and he does not change at all. There is no improvements to our God. I'm glad that he is the supreme being of the universe. You see, he says, this same Jesus will come back and meet you someday in the clouds. I'm glad that Jesus Christ remains the same. You see, this same promise that the disciples had promised to them, we hold dear today. Because if Jesus Christ changed, then that means that the word we read this morning and the scripture we preach on throughout the week and on Sundays we teach from the Word of God, that means that He is not the same one we teach. He does not change. So we can take the scripture and we can read that He is faithful, and He was faithful 2,000 years ago and He's still faithful tonight. And I'm glad that we serve a God that does not change. I can't help but think of those disciples sitting there on the hillside of Galilee, hearing those two men saying, "Hey, Jesus Christ will come back and you'll meet Him in the air, and He will not change." I can't help but think of those disciples thinking back through the last 40 days that they spent with Jesus Christ and thinking, "Boy, what a great Savior He is. Boy, what a wonderful Lord He is." And then I can't help but think them look back and look at the different attributes that Jesus Christ showed through those 40 days that He was with them and spent time with them after He rose from the grave. I think of Matthew. Matthew says over in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, it says, "And they, as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him." I can't help but Matthew think to himself and tell the other disciples, "Hey, I remember the first time that He spoke to Mary and both the Marys as they were coming back from the sepulchre, empty sepulchre. I remember the first words that He said, and it was all hail. All hail." In other words, He was saying, "Hey, cheer up. Everything is going to be just all right." He says, "All hail." In other words, all praise be to the Lord. "Hey, I've risen from the grave. Everything is going to be all right. Yes, you thought you lost your Savior, but oh no, I rose again and I am here and everything is fine. Cheer up. Everything's going to be just okay." I can't help but think of those ladies thinking in their mind, "We're still under the Roman Empire. We still have to pay taxes to Caesar. We still had a crucified Savior 3 days ago. Boy, there's a lot to get you down and discouraged about. But Jesus Christ comes and He says, 'Hey, everything is all right. All hail, all praise. Hey, cheer up. Because I'm still on the throne. And nothing has changed. I'm still as powerful as I was before I died today. When I meet you in the way back to the disciples. All hail. Hey, everything's all right.'" And I don't believe Jesus has lost any of His joy through the tough economic times in our life. Huh? I don't think He's changed. His joy has not decreased one bit. I'm glad our joy doesn't depend on the stock market, huh? Bounces up and down and goes up, and then people have a good day, and then they have a bad day, and then a bad day, and then a worse day, and then a worse day, and hit bottom. Boy, I'm glad my joy does not depend on the stock market or how our economy is doing. Everything is all right in the Lord's economy. And everything's all right, the Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." So Matthew gets up and he says, "Hey, all the same Jesus is going to come back, and He's going to meet us in the clouds, and we're going to spend eternity with Him, and everything's all right with Him." And I remember him telling those two ladies, "Hey, all praise, hey, cheer up, it's going to be all right." I can't help but think that Jesus Christ would say tonight, "Hey, everything's going to be all right. Hey, cheer up. I'm still in control. I still have everything under my rule. And nothing's going to go wrong. It's okay." I remember learning about a preacher many, many years ago. This preacher, they said that when he took a right step, he would say, "Praise the Lord." When he would take a left step, he would say, "Hallelujah." Huh? And he would, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah." Huh? How would you like to be around somebody like that? Drive you crazy almost, huh? But Jesus Christ says, hey, look up. Everything's going to be all right. Don't get discouraged. Hey, there's no reason why Christians should be in the mully grubs and down and discouraged and defeated when we have a risen Savior. Hey, He's still on the throne. Amen. And He's still a conquering Savior. And He says, cheer up. It's going to be all right. All hail. I can't help but think that after Matthew says that, Mark gets up and says, hey, I remember the first time we heard Jesus Christ speak to us after He rose from the dead these last 40 days. I remember we were all gathered together, we were eating. Boy, it's a sad time. There's only 11 of us. We knew that there was one missing, and we knew our Master was missing as well. So I remember we were all gathered around. He says, as someone appeared, our Master appeared into the room. He said some very special words to us. He said the first words that I penned in Matthew, that Jesus Christ spoke to us was in Matthew chapter or Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, I still remember Jesus Christ said the first two words, go ye. Yeah, I remember He said, all hail, but then He also said, go ye. I'm so glad He gave us a great commission, because now we can get off this hillside, we can get down to the room, pray, and then get filled with the Holy Spirit, and get out there and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. It's a good day, amen? Yeah, they watched Jesus Christ ascend up into heaven, but the men said, hey, He's coming back just the same way that He ascended up into heaven. He isn't going to change one bit. He's going to be on top of things when He comes back. Don't get discouraged. Don't be defeated. Hey, cheer up. And He also says, hey, I still have all passion for the lost. I have all praise and all passion. And the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I still believe Jesus Christ's heartbeat while He was walking this earth was lost souls. He desired that lost people come and be saved. I can't help but think, last night, Ethan and I visited a lady that, an alcoholic that was in the hospital. And I said to the alcoholic, if you would have died a couple of days ago, where would you have spent eternity? She said, I know I would have gone to hell. I said, would you like to know that you're on your way to heaven? She said, yes. I said, let me get my Bible over here. I'm going to show you a couple of verses. And she said, hold on, I'm going to sit up. So she sat up in her hospital bed. We went through the plan of salvation. Let me tell you, she bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior with tears coming down her face, huh? Why? Because Jesus is compassionate for souls. He still wants to see people saved. Brother Anderson and I were out visiting last Thursday, knocked on a door of a gentleman. He invited us into the house. When we went into the house, he said, why don't you guys sit down on the couch? We sat down, asked him, do you know if you die? Do you know if you go to heaven? He said, no, I don't know that. He said, but I'd like to know. Can anybody know that? I said, yes, the Bible clearly teaches us. So he began to go through the plan of salvation. And a few minutes later, he bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And Kevin is now on his way to heaven. When before, he was on his way to hell. I said, Kevin, if you were to die before we got here tonight, where would you have spent eternity? He said, I have spent eternity in hell. You see, Jesus Christ is still compassionate for the lost. Brother Jason goes to a 15-year-old boy's home last night, knocks on the door. The boy says, no, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Brother Jason says, can I show you? They invite him into the house, and the mother comes by and shuts the TV off. They sit there on the couch, go through the plan of salvation, and he trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior. You see, Jesus Christ is still concerned for the lost souls. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. His burden, his heartbeat was lost souls. I can't help but think of a couple of teenagers went out yesterday afternoon. As they were knocking doors, one of the teenage girls saw the two guys knocking the door. So there was a young fellow raking leaves in the front lawn. And the young lady went over and began to talk to the young boy and began to go through the plan of salvation. Amber went through the plan of salvation with that boy. While the teenage boys were getting the survey at the door, she was stealing the fruit in the front yard. I tell you what, that's pretty rough. But he bowed his head and he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You see, Jesus Christ's heartbeat is still after the lost souls of today. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 it says, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and in both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We were out door knocking a couple of Saturdays ago. Knocked on a door. Lady answered the door. She had tears coming down her cheeks. She said, "I can't believe it." She said, "Are you from Faith Baptist?" I said, "Yes, I am." I've never talked to this lady before. I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I can't believe that you're knocking on my door." She said, "I just left my dad's grave." She said, "I'm going through some situations in my life. I just don't know what to do." And I was praying to God, "God, please show me what to do." I said, "Well, ma'am, I don't know what you're going through, but I can sure help you with something." And so I asked her, "Do you know that you're on your way to heaven?" She said, "No, I don't know that." We went through the plan of salvation, and she bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And Joan is on her way to heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ is still concerned for the lost. You see, Matthew says, "Hey, I remember Jesus Christ said, all hail. Hey, praise the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. Hey, cheer up. Don't get discouraged." Mark says, "Hey, I remember when Jesus Christ said that I have all passion for all souls. Go ye into all the world. Get out there and tell someone about Jesus Christ." And then Luke says, "Yeah, but fellas, I remember a special moment as well." He said, "We were talking to the men that went to Emmaus. They got back and they were visiting with us and they told us that they thought they visited with Jesus Christ. And they said, while we were breaking bread with him, all of a sudden he disappeared." He says, "I remember when we were talking to those men, all of a sudden Jesus appeared. And when he appeared, the first words out of his mouth were, 'Peace be unto you.'" You see, the Bible says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you.'" Luke said, "Hey, I know things are going rough. I know we were discouraged, but Jesus said, 'Peace,' and everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I have great peace in my heart that the Lord is going to take care of us." He says, "Do you remember when we were in despair? Do you remember when we were downhearted? When we were defeated?" Jesus Christ says, "Peace be unto you." He says, "Do you remember when we were in that boat and the waves were crashing against the boat? We were going back and forth. We were tossed to and fro. Jesus came up and said, 'Hey, peace be unto you.'" And might I say tonight that we have the same Jesus Christ in heaven that said, "Peace be unto you." We have him here with us tonight. Jesus Christ says, "Hey, you're going through a tough time. Peace be unto you." Is your boat getting rocked a little bit? Jesus Christ says, "Peace be unto you. Everything's going to be okay." You see, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus, or a man by the name of Nicholas, that in 1555, he was sentenced to burn at the stake. His brother said to him, "Why don't you let me stay with you overnight and just kind of uplift your spirits a little bit and keep you encouraged through the night?" Nicholas said, "Well, you don't understand. I'll go ahead and I'll be by myself." He said, "I will rest in the peace of God because I know that I'm going to die for the Prince of Peace. I will rest in the peace of God. You don't need to stay with me tonight. It's going to be all right." That was a man facing burning at the stake the next morning. I think if a man like that could go through a tough time and say, "Hey, peace is with me because I have Jesus Christ in my heart," I think we can face anything, right? Huh? Any trouble, anything that the world has to throw at us, we can say, "Hey, we have the Prince of Peace with us. It's going to be okay." As Matthew says, "All hail. Hey, cheer up. Everything's going to be all right." Mark says, "Hey, Jesus Christ said, 'Go ye. I have all passion.'" Luke says, "Hey, I remember he said, 'Peace be unto you. All peace.'" We're talking about the same one that will never change. "I remain the same," he says. Then in John chapter 21, verse 4 through 6, we flip over there. John chapter 21, verse 4 through 6. The disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee. as they're trying to catch a little bit of fish, they struggle all night long. They put their nets in the water. They pull them up. They catch nothing but seaweed. All night long, they're pulling up empty nets. The Bible says in verse 4, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." The Bible says that the disciples, they were out on the shore, or out on the sea. Jesus was on the shore. They had pulled up the nets all night long, looking at the nets, finding nothing. There's no fish out here. They would drop the nets back into the water. They would pull the nets back up. They would look through the nets. No fish. All night long, they toiled and labored trying to catch a few fish. Then about dusk, they said they look out onto the shore. They see a man out there. He yells out, "Children, have you any meat?" Say, "Boy, I recognize that voice. Boy, who could that be? Man, would that possibly be Jesus?" The Bible says they didn't know who it was. The voice echoed back, "Hey, cast your net on the other side." Doesn't he understand? We've been out here all night long. What new information is he going to give us as he's just appeared on the shore, huh? "Okay, we'll cast our net on the other side." And they dropped that net on the other side. The Bible says they couldn't even pull up the net because they had so many fish. "Hey, come on over here. You got to help us out. Let's pull these fish up in this boat." The Bible says that Jesus Christ, he provided their needs. You see, yes, he is all hail. Yes, all praise. Yes, Mark says, all passion, all peace. And then John says, yeah, but he is all providing. He provides all of our needs. Yeah, we needed some fish that night. But when Jesus Christ showed up, hey, all of our needs were met. We couldn't even pull all the fish in. There were so many fish. That's the way Jesus is in our life. You see, you have a need tonight. Jesus Christ says, I change not. I will come back the same way I ascended up into heaven. I provided for you in those 40 days, and I will provide for you the next 2,000 years as we have seen him do. Jesus Christ, it says, I will provide for you. The disciples, they reminisced in their mind. Do you remember the time when we had 5,000 people on the hillside with no food? What are we going to do? Well, we better find something. Send them away, Jesus. Jesus says, no. Get your little loaves and your little fish out here. Let's provide. And Jesus provided for the 5,000. They said, hey, remember the time we needed to pay our taxes? And Jesus said, hey, go down there and catch a fish. That'll make almost every Baptist be a fisherman. Go find your taxes. But I don't think any fish could be big enough to hold Illinois' taxes in their mouth. But Jesus said, hey, get out there and catch a fish. So they cast their hook in the water. They start pulling that thing up, pop that mouth open, and sure enough, there's their taxes. Jesus said, I'll provide for you. You have need of food? I'll take care of that. You have need of some money? I'll take care of that. I'll pay your taxes. They said, hey, remember the time we were at that wedding? They ran out of wine. We need more grape juice. And Jesus told them to get the water, or the water pots, or the wine pots, and fill them up with water. And Jesus Christ provided the wine. He has always provided just like he said. And Jesus Christ will always provide just like he said he would in the Word of God. He hasn't changed one bit from 2,000 years ago to 2011. Jesus Christ is still the same. So you can take your needs to him. Little children, adults, teenagers, you can take your needs to him and he'll provide them. Because he is all providing. I'm glad I serve a God that is all providing. I'm glad I don't serve a dead God. I'm glad I don't serve a bipolar God either. He's in a good mood today. Man, he's ticked off tomorrow. Huh? We serve a great God that's in a good mood all the time, ready to provide your needs. I remember in Greater Falls, Massachusetts, when we were there at a revival meeting, we went into this great big Catholic church. I'd never seen a Catholic church so big. They had all these thousands of candles that were covered their walls down in the basement, and they're all lit. My brother got the great idea of blowing them out and saying, "Back to purgatory." Here's a blowing and a blowing. They were going and a going. So we finally got him away from the candles. He was fascinated with those things. But we began to adventure off into different rooms. And in some of the, they had one place where there was a bunch of crutches, where they said that Jesus Christ healed people from their sicknesses, and they made the lame to walk. 2001, he was making the lame to walk. I don't know if he had a second appearing or something like that. We didn't know about. But we went into this one room, and there are a bunch of chairs set up there, and there's a man sitting in the back room. And there was a cross right in the front of the room that had a hole right in the middle of it. And I sat down beside him. I thought, what a great place to lead someone to the Lord. You know, right in a Catholic basement, a Catholic church basement. And so I started talking to him. I said, "Sir, what are you doing here?" He said, "I'm looking at that cross. If I look at the cross long enough, I'll eventually see Jesus Christ appear on that cross. But I've got to look at it. I've got to keep my concentration on this cross." I said, "Sir, he's not going to appear on that cross. He is risen. He's in heaven. And he wants to come into your heart and wash away your sins. But I'm glad I don't serve a God or a Jesus. I don't have Jesus Christ hanging on a cross today. Hey, he's in heaven and he remains the same that he was when he ascended up into heaven the first day 2,000 years ago, huh? We serve the same Savior today that we have always served in time gone by." I was thinking to myself when I was a teenager, I remember going to church and listening to the preachers preach. And I remember this particular preacher that came. I think he was an evangelist. But he gave us like 30 reasons why America was going to go down. I mean, that was the message. 30 reasons and then nothing to do about it. That's just it. Sorry about it. And very good news. But I can remember going home and talking to my mom and dad thinking, good night. What is there, really, what is there to live for if it's just, if everything is going to go down in just a few years? I won't even get out of high school, and then forget the ministry. I won't even get to the ministry. I'll be stuck in college, and I won't get out of college, and Jesus Christ will ascend, or he'll come down, and we'll go up to heaven, and the life is going to be done. What's the sense? And I remember how discouraging that was, thinking that everything is going to change. But I want to tell you young people something. Teenagers and younger, if you're thinking about the future, boy, is there going to be an America in the future? Boy, is there going to be any hope for us in the future? Are we going to actually have our own families? I want to tell you, whether any of that comes to pass, you have the same Jesus Christ that your parents had. Sometimes us teenagers, or the teenagers, when I was a teenager, looking at my mom and dad, they were saved in the 70s. Many folks here saved in the 70s. And boy, the revival that took place in the 70s, and my heart just burns that God will give us the same type of revival today that they had in the 70s. I think to myself, why can't we have it today? Why? We serve the same God, do we not? We serve the same God. And I want you teenagers to realize something. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. You think there's no hope. Hey, I'm going to live 5 more years and Jesus Christ is going to come back. No, you live your life as if you're going to live for 50 years. And Jesus Christ will not change on you. I promise you. You serve the same God, same Jesus as your parents served today. He will not change. You'll find him faithful just like your parents have found him faithful. Boy, I love to listen to my mom and dad talk about the ways when they got saved. Talk about the ways that Jesus Christ provided their needs. Boy, they'd pray about something. Didn't have gas to go to church. They knew they could only get there one way. So they would drive. Hey, church is church. We got to get there. The doors are going to be open. They would drive there. The tank was on E. My dad said, "I know I have 45, 50 minutes to drive home. There's no way we're going to get home." My dad would get back out to the van, open up the van door. There'd be some money stuck in the steering wheel. Time and time again. Think to myself, is my God the same God as my dad? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Teenagers, young people, don't listen to the stories and think, well, that's just my mom and dad's God. No, it's not. It's the same God that you have today. Jesus Christ changes not. He will be with you. He will be there when you need him. If you just cast your burden upon him. Matthew says, hey, cheer up. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. Mark says, hey, get out there, get somebody saved. Luke says, hey, peace be unto you. He told us everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Let the peace of God dwell on you richly. John says, there's going to be some times and you need some stuff. But the same God that provided for us on the Sea of Galilee will be right there in 2011, 2012 for you. I will change not. I am the same. There's a man by the name of Lloyd Douglas, lived above, a retired music teacher. They had a little tradition every morning. Lloyd would come out. He'd have his coffee in one hand, and he would say hello, wave to Lloyd in the other hand. Lloyd would be right out there in the front porch and in his wheelchair. And he'd always have, every morning he would have a C tuning fork. And he'd hold that C tuning fork, and he'd take it, and he would hit it against the chair, the rail of that wheelchair, and he would listen to the vibrations. And he would tell Lloyd, that is middle C. That was middle C yesterday. That is middle C today. And it will be middle C tomorrow. It will always be middle C. You know what? As I think to myself, as I take the Word of God each morning and I strum through the pages, and the music from the Word of God touches my ears, and I hear about Jesus Christ helping people and raising the dead and doing mighty works in the Bible, I think to myself, that was Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. That's Jesus Christ today, and that'll be Jesus Christ tomorrow. He changes not. Everything's going to be all right. Because the God that ascended Jesus Christ, that ascended up into heaven, is the same Jesus Christ that's going to come down and meet us in the air. Don't get discouraged, teenagers. Don't get discouraged, parents. Remember when you first got saved, how awesome God was to you? God is still that awesome. We just have to recognize it. I will remain the same. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. Has he lost some of his value in your eyes or in your heart? Have you begun to doubt him a little bit? Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to change. I'll be there right for you when you call on me. How about it? Do you feel overloaded? Do you feel like you need to cheer up? Recognize him as your uplifter? Do you need to go out and tell someone about Jesus Christ? Do you need a little bit of peace in your heart? Or maybe just a little bit of provision from the Lord tonight? I don't know, whichever way the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, if the Lord swept by your pew, I would encourage you to do business with the Lord. He is there. Teenagers, if you've been doubting, do I have the same God that my parents have? Will he really be there for me? I would come and do business with the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you for today, and I'm trusting you for my future as well. We're going to go ahead and stand to our feet. As the pianist begins to play, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come and do business with the Lord? Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I don't even know the Lord. I've never trusted Him as my personal Savior. I haven't asked Him to wash away my sins, Brother Caleb. I'd like to do that. If there's someone like that tonight, come forward and we can show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven.